Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Zach Mack, there's nothing better than that intro right now. A little Papa Roach bringing us in. Gotta love it. You know, for all those tuning in tonight and the new season, Carter, appreciate you putting that in. I know I had to twist your arm to get you to put a little Papa Roach last resort in there to bring us home or to bring us in. So, but with that being said, back for another episode tonight. What's up, Belly Up? Got my boy Zach Mack here from Puck Puck Pass, and obviously my co-host here. How's it going, man?
Dude, I'm doing well. I'm a little sore. Like I told you, I was moving. I've been moving over the weekend. But it was NHL All-Star weekend, so I had to move that weekend, so I wouldn't miss any hockey. But I'm out of shape, man. That's all I know.
Actually, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because in past, I've heard they've made great changes to the All-Star game.
Oh boy, yeah.
As far, I mean, maybe the game, maybe the skills challenge. I personally, as a sports fan, I haven't tuned in years. How was it this year, or how are things going? How in general? What would you give me a 1 out of 5?
I mean, I'm on your side. I don't watch it. I used to watch it every year when I was a kid, but. Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about it on the last Puck Puck Pass episode. I didn't watch the skills competition. KJ watched it. He filled us in on the last episode. It's to the point where it just gets worse and worse every year, so I don't watch it. It does, like, the goalies aren't even trying. It's not real hockey. I mean, it's probably fun for the players. They get to all, you know, hang out with each other over the weekend and whatnot, and it's a break for all the rest of the players. But from a fan's perspective, it's like the Pro Bowl, man. Same thing. Did you watch the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, you know what? I had the Pro Bowl. I was gonna say I had it on, but it was more for background noise. And when I did look up, it was just, I mean, there was a point where I think the entire defensive line dropped in coverage, and the offensive line was just standing there, and I was just like, you know, whatever. But anyways, we kind of got away from myself already a little early for that, but we got a good show. Obviously, everybody following sports, the news, the headlines, the big news is obviously Kobe Bryant. We're going to touch on that, but I want to touch on it from a different side of things. Obviously, everybody within the company, outside of the company, ESPN, Marshall, everybody, you know, they had their take on things and how things were. And we did too. So we're not going to – I wouldn't say bore you because obviously everybody can talk about this. Everybody felt the impact of it. But from a media standpoint, I want to touch on that. Obviously, I want to talk about the Super Bowl quickly. Kind of a preview, and you know, Cincinnati Reds, talking baseball, I want to talk about them. They're quickly turning into the the Detroit Tigers are quickly turning into the Cincinnati Reds farm system. And then we'll kind of lead into the Detroit Tigers, what to expect from them, and you know, we'll end it with the good old boy Allen Iverson getting 50K or 50K, geez, 500K worth of jewelry stolen, which last I saw was actually found. So either way, to get right into it, we'll get into Kobe. Like I said, we're not going to go too far off, but the reason I want to touch on this quickly is an incident like this, everybody felt it, whether you knew the guy, you met the guy, you grew up watching him. It hit hard. We haven't had something like this in the sports world for a long time. And for somebody with the magnitude, or I mean the magnitude that he is, the personality he was, what he did to the game and women's basketball, everything else, you know, it hit everybody hard. But the way I saw this was, I saw more so a lot of things with the media, a lot of things that were wrong with the media. I saw so much about TMZ getting slammed for, you know, the way they reported it. And you know what? I understand where this is coming from. This is a father. This is a husband. This is a son. This is obviously an NBA legend. But not to go on a tangent, TMZ did what they were doing. This is their job. They reported it. Maybe they released names before families knew about this. I saw that there's a petition going around to close up TMZ, you know, like them or not. That's the line of work that they're in today. Especially, I saw someone post it in our group chat, and the line of work now with social media, everybody's grasping at straws to break this news. They broke the news. They were right. But the thing that was more disgusting to me were the other ABC channels, the local channels that were breaking news and said at one point that all of his daughters were on this. And it just, you know, there were so many highs and lows, and I shouldn't say highs, but I mean, from one low to the next, and you never knew. And then it was tweet after tweet getting deleted by these verified accounts. And I felt the way that everything was handled was so horrible, but I feel TMZ got the brunt of this. And I'm not saying that they're the greatest, that they should be, you know, there's ways about it, but the way things are, this is how it is with social media. This is how it is with the news. You know, that's all I kind of wanted to say. I'm not giving a pass to TMZ or anything, but I was very disappointed with the way things were handled, especially being from our standpoint. We're not going to have that insider news yet as of yet, you know, to break this kind of stuff. It got to the point where we saw it. We were like, wow, is this real? You know, like everybody else in America. And without me going on and on, what was your take on obviously the situation in the media outlets and how it was handled?
Yeah, I mean, it was first – I was perusing Twitter when it happened. And you talk about background noise. That's what the Pro Bowl was playing. And you're right, it very quickly became background noise at that point. But, yeah, I saw TMZ breaks the news, and you're already like – it's TMZ. You know, everyone's going, is this true? Like, do we know? Like, it's TMZ. We don't know if it's true or not. Is TMZ just messing with us? Because that's what TMZ does. But, I mean, they ended up being right about it, like you said. I echo everything you said. I was very disgusted by the way that the other channels, once they caught on to the news, that they just kind of rushed into things. There's a lot of false information, and then that's just, you know, it's not fair to everyone that's involved in a situation. And yeah, I mean, it's just I pretty much agree with everything you said. You know, it's just rough to see the media willing to sacrifice the truth. And we hear all the time about fake news, fake news, fake news. And this was just a real life example of it. And it was just, it was crazy.
Yeah. And like I said, not we didn't want to go on, you know, you can hear about this on any channel. And of course we wanted to bring it up, but it was more so the media side looking at that, you know, knowing what the media has to do, what their job is, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And TMZ, you know, they released some names, but, you know, whether you like them or not, they were right. They got it right. You can't fault them for that. I was just more so disgusted with the local ABCs and NBCs and stuff like that. But just want to touch on that, open up with that. I know it's a kind of doom and gloom situation based off of, you know, the person he was and what he did for everybody, you know, but, put some light on that, just how I thought about it. But transitioning kind of to the lighter side of the sports world, I don't know how you transition from one to the other, but getting into the Super Bowl, kind of our previews here. I've been man, it's hard to get into the Super Bowl, even just saying Kobe's name, man. It's like,
yeah.
But you know, we've talked pretty much since the second season has come out with What's Up Belly Up. We've been riding some teams. I originally said AFC. I had Kansas City. I was riding them all the way. I had Seattle, lost them right away. We all talked about how great it would have been to see Tennessee take it. At this point, I'm on Kansas City. Like I said, I think I said it in the last episode, San Francisco's got a great defense, but I just don't think that they can slow down Kansas City. I do think, however, it will be more entertaining than last year. I don't think that's hard to say based off of the score last year. But I'm looking forward to this game. I'm actually excited to see San Francisco, although I don't see them winning this game. But what are you thinking? I know for a while you were go Niners, you know, Tennessee. I think you kind of jumped around. Obviously, football's not your baby. But what are you thinking? What are you looking at the Super Bowl matchup? You excited to see it? You excited just to watch the commercials like usual? kind of what you look forward to?
Yeah, I'm excited for this game. Like you said, I think, you know, obviously Kansas City's offense versus San Francisco's defense. That's the story here. And I really do think that we got, you know, as much shit as I give the NFL because their officiating sucks, and I don't always think that the best team wins out in the playoffs, which makes it unique. But at the same time, I think we got the best team in the AFC here and we got the best team in the NFC. So I'm excited. I hope it's a good game. I hope San Francisco's defense can stop Kansas City's offense, which has just been a train this postseason. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, there's a ton of matchups to watch. You know, you got Bosa trying to contain Mahomes, and whether or not San Francisco's secondary can hang with the receivers. There's a lot to watch. I am excited for the commercials. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm always looking forward to the commercials. Sometimes they suck. Some years they suck. Some years they're good. So I do like to judge based on that. But I'm excited for a good game. I think we got the two best teams.
What is your – is there any inkling that San Francisco runs up and down the field with Morstead?
I don't think that they have as much success as they had last week. I mean, obviously he went off – or not last week, but 2 weekends ago. When the game is played, it'll be 2 weekends ago. I don't think he'll have the same success. We saw Kansas City stop Derrick Henry, so I think they could do the same. But – I'm leaning towards Niners now that you said that you're kind of rooting for the Chiefs, because people keep sleeping on the Niners and they keep showing out. And I'd love to see them do it again. I would love to see Super Bowl Sunday and the entire panel picks Kansas City and then San Francisco goes out and wins it.
That is the kiss of death. Look at Minnesota.
Exactly.
With that being said, honestly, growing up, I've always been a Detroit fan through and through. But I love Deion Sanders, so I followed him around. Obviously, watched Dallas for a little bit. Watched San Francisco. I love those block shadow letters those block shadow numbers that those jerseys that they had. And I just wish they would rock those for the Super Bowl. I know that there was a big issue with what they were going to wear for the Super Bowl, but seeing San Francisco back in the Super Bowl. Obviously, Kansas City hasn't been there in years, but San Francisco has. But I feel like football's all right again. New England's not there. You know, your normal teams, you know, I just feel like there's, I wouldn't say consistency because this is the first year that's like this, but I feel like this is paving the way for new teams, these young guys to get in and really bring their teams, like Jimmy G, obviously Mahomes. I mean, you got young nucleus, young core. I love Shanahan. I love Lynch. The first year when they got together, it was kind of a mess, and everyone was like, oh, you know, this ain't going to work. But, I mean, the total turnaround in year two, it's hard not to root for them, but I definitely got to stay with my pick, got to stay with Kansas City. So I'm taking them all the way.
Do you think it's if you had to predict, do you think if Kansas City takes it, is it like more than a one-possession game, or is it down to the wire?
I think Kansas City wins by at least 2 touchdowns.
Okay. See, I could very easily see that happening, and that's the only scenario I don't want. If Kansas City wins, I want it to be like a Mahomes last second dime with his left hand. I don't know.
So rather than make it a 4-hour Super Bowl, you want a 5-hour Super Bowl. That's but moving on, enough with the football talk. This may be we'll probably. Touch base off the Super Bowl next week, stuff like that. But we're getting into baseball season. I've always got excited for opening day. Opening day now is turning into essentially the first weekend in the NFL now for me. Being a Detroit Tigers fan, it's pretty much the same scenario. You get excited for pitchers and catchers to report, go through spring training, get to those first few games, and then you realize the team that Detroit has out there. And me being close to Toledo, growing up, I always got to go see the Mud Hens, so I always got to see the up-and-coming talent in Toledo. Now, if you go to a Detroit Tigers game, that talent that should be playing in Toledo is starting in the major leagues. So with that being said, Cincinnati signs Nicholas Castellanos today, $61 or $64 million, something like that. That's on top of Suarez, you know, them having Suarez, them having I can't even name them off right now because I feel like every year they end up getting somebody, which actually I saw Suarez today got hurt dicking around in a pool, so he's going to be out until opening day.
It's always baseball players.
I feel like the Detroit Tigers are seriously becoming the Reds farm organization. And for years, you know, Dave Dombrowski, it was win now. We spent. We knew we were going to have this recession where we were just going to be strapped for money. Miggy is still getting all this money, and he's barely, you know, what, he's hitting 280 now with 8 home runs, you know. Power's gone. He's still consistent. But, you know, what – I don't know how close you follow the Tigers, if you even care about the Tigers at this point. But what are you thinking? Do you know – much about the roster this year, honestly, outside of Miggy and a few guys, I couldn't even tell you, you know, a lot of the positions. But I do know we are loaded with young pitching prospects. But when I say young, I mean like single A, double A, that won't sniff the minors for 2 or 3 more years. So they do have the ability to pull off some trades. But I think at this point, they're willing to ride it out and develop these young arms, because If we suck this year, we're going to have another first-round pick, a good draft day pick where, you know, maybe we'll put some defense around them, maybe we'll put some offense around them. Have you followed much of the Tigers this offseason, the past season? What are you expecting from them, if so?
Yeah, I don't follow them close. I mean, they were good when I was a kid, but then I just fell out of love with baseball. And, I mean, obviously we know that Miggy's on the tail end of his career. It was fun when he was in his prime. It just seems like it's so hard to – we've been so bad. I mean, you talk about expectations. They're not very high. Like I said, Miggy's at the end of his career. We're not building anything around that. And it's funny you say about the farm system. I mean, I grew up around the West Michigan Whitecaps, so I saw single-A ball for the Tigers and whenever they go on. Like rehab stints, you know, stuff like that. Seems like that's all we're watching is a single A team out here that just breaking records for losses in a season. I was aware of all the talent they have in the minor leagues. I saw reports and stuff like that. Whether it's, you know, trade bait or they build around it coming up. I mean, we're in such that Dombrowski hole, like you mentioned, that – I don't know, man. I don't pay close attention to Tigers, but it just doesn't seem like there's a light at the end of the tunnel yet.
Yeah, and to make it easy on you, no, there's not. It was no it was more of a trap question because there is no light. There is nothing to think. I mean, we literally we set the all-time city record, or was it the city record for most losses by major league system, whether Detroit Pistons, you know, Red Wings, Tigers, Lions. I mean, that's life nowadays. Outside of the Wings having their dynasty for a while, we saw the Pistons have some greatness. Detroit rode it through the playoffs into a World Series, but still never won. There is a good chance that we will never, as Detroit sports fans, ever see maybe even a winning season in our lifetime with the way that these teams are. And I know that we usually talk a lot about, you know, just sports across the board, and we always talk about Detroit sports here and there. But this right now is about – I am sitting here, and the more it's hitting me, it is like – it's not even fun to watch sports. Like, I would rather be an Eagles fan.
Oh, man. I'm trying to keep it together. Thank God I moved out of Michigan. Honestly, I would be probably out of sports at this point. Luckily, I've surrounded myself with somewhat of a community that supports winning teams, and I know what joy is like watching sports. But you're right. It's dreadful, and it's – I mean, we got Stevie Y for hockey. So, you know, there's at least somewhat of a light at the end of the tunnel. The Lions, yeah, I mean, you know, it's football. You could always crack out a 9-7 season. So that winning season, it's possible. Baseball's nowhere close. Basketball, I mean, we'll get 8 seeds as being under 500. So, yeah, right. It's there's like, even if we were the Bengals, we'd be in a better situation. Like, at least we got a first overall pick to look forward to.
We still screw that up. We'd get two wide receivers that bum out of the league in 2-3 years. But so quickly, though, Red Wings. I know you're faithful. I know you hockey through and through. It doesn't have to be the Red Wings. You watch them all. You get the flack because you're a Red Wings fan. But you just support the sport. That's what you do. You enjoy it. But is there hope with these young prospects, like you said, that Detroit has, you know, with Stevie being there, you know, maybe three, am I reaching at 3 years, 5 years?
I don't think so.
I mean, do they have, really?
I think 3 years and, they can make it happen.
Thing is, I loved watching the Wings. I loved, I mean, even back to Fedorov days, you know, I mean, obviously with the Yzerman and, you know, all those guys, you know, I loved it. It was a different type of hockey. The Red Wings Avalanche, I mean, that was must watch TV. It didn't matter if you're a hockey fan or not. You had to watch that game. At this point, I mean, I feel like every team at some point goes through this phase. I just feel like Detroit extends it and it lasts 10 to 15 years where most teams can do it in 2 to 3. So you can see within 3 years, you know, like you said, light at the end of the tunnel. I guess maybe, I mean, are there some prospects maybe that aren't playing right now that would be somebody that we could keep an eye on, or just guys that are maybe getting some ice time now that are just kind of going to have to come into their own that are really going to take this team? You know, I haven't heard much about Larkin this year, but I haven't really followed the team, so I can't really speak on all these guys.
Yeah, a good chunk of it is just putting faith in Steve Yzerman, I think. I mean, he was so successful in Tampa, and you know, people will say, you know, no income tax, so yeah, it's easy to get players down there, blah, blah, blah. I think he could build a team. You know, I think he knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. So, you know, majority of it is faith in that. I think we've got a lot of young prospects that, you know, like Zadina, who didn't play until the second half of the season when we're already putting up record low wins. It's there's a lot to be excited for. Plus, we're most likely going to get the first overall pick this year. And you'd like to think that Steve Yzerman is not going to boss that up. So, yeah. I think, yeah, a lot of it just has to do with, you know, it's make or break on whether or not Steve Yzerman can do his job at an elite level, which I think he can.
So there you hear it. That gives me some to think of all teams that the Detroit Red Wings would be maybe the team that will turn around first, based off of where they are now. But I guess the state of the city right now is just waiting for somebody. So it doesn't matter who it is. Like you said, it could be the 9-7 Lions making the playoffs, and you know
that's what's gonna be crazy.
That an 8-8 team could go. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But
the first Detroit team, whoever breaks the curse, is the city's just gonna love them.
And it doesn't. And honestly, Detroit has been blessed. Maybe not so much in hockey. I guess it depends on where you're looking at it, but Detroit is also in some awful divisions almost across every sport too. There are very few teams that can outplay them. I mean, you look at obviously the Lions, we keep going back to that. That division's always wide open. No matter how good Minnie is, no matter how good Green Bay is, no matter how good Chicago is, it always happens. The same thing with, I mean, the Tigers, actually, in the Central. That division was the worst division in baseball, and they still couldn't even battle out of last place. I mean, I think the Orioles had the worst record, but I mean, still. And then you're talking about the Pistons in the East. Still, I mean, you could be an 8 seed and squeak in, but probably going to get waxed in the playoffs. But regardless, yes, we're going to embrace them. We're going to be excited once that day finally comes. I'll be old and decrepit, so who knows. But moving on to an ex-Piston here quickly, and we'll end it here, is Allen Iverson makes the news today. He didn't do anything. but he had $500,000 worth of jewelry stolen. Who in the hell wears $500,000 worth of jewelry? Or who in the hell travels with $500,000 worth of jewelry? I mean, I get it. It takes me 20 years to make that kind of money. So I get it, whatever. So if you got it, go on, play on, play on. But at this point, it sounds like some 21-year-old kid stole his backpack, had the jewelry in it. It made it back to Iverson. But I mean, the most expensive thing I have is an iWatch, and I don't even wear that to work because I'm afraid of breaking it.
Do you picture a backpack full of jewelry, or do you picture like five chains that cost $100,000 each?
I just picture like Scrooge McDuck opening up a backpack full of like gold coins. Just stupid shit, like for no absolute reason. But it probably was like four necklaces with just nothing but ice on it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, whatever. But I thought at one point the dude claimed bankruptcy. You know, I remember hearing a story about him. I think when he was in Detroit, he got pulled over on the freeway in a Lamborghini. He was doing 100 and some miles an hour, pulled him over on the road. The cop, you know, once they got him out, because it wasn't a high-speed chase, but it was like, you know, what the hell are you doing? So he got out there questioning him. And they said, we're going to have to tow your car. And he looked at the cop, and he threw the keys to him, and he goes, don't worry, I got five more, and tried to walk away. Like, that's when you – like, I don't know if that's arrogance or that's just straight badass, you know? Like, here I am, a white dude living in the Midwest that can't even sniff 500K, and we're talking about a dude that made a living breaking people's ankles in the NBA, and he was barely even 6 foot tall, if that. $500,000 worth of jewelry. I guess maybe I brought that up because I more envy the situation than anything, but who knows, you know, so whatever, but you know, I feel like, this episode, this one went quick. We try to keep these short. We try to keep you entertained as much as we can. Usually I ramble on. Zach's more of a kind of laid back guy, sit back there. He doesn't cut me off. He just lets me, kind of sink the ship. You know, Zach, you got anything? I know we don't really do a round table here like we do in Sound Off. Anything you want to add before we head on out?
Yeah, we had a comment on the show from a request from Belly of Kev, who wanted me to argue whether or not the XFL could take over the NFL in the next decade. So I'll just address that real quick. I think it's far-fetched. Obviously, the NFL's got great talent, and it's more or less functionally run. And so a couple things would have to happen. The officiating would have to just go to the shitter, which it's on its way. So if the officiating literally makes it unwatchable, you know, maybe people will flip to XFL. They would have to obviously get some NFL talent. So it'd have to be people that are sick of the NFL rules going to the XFL, give a reason for people to watch the XFL. And I don't know, man. A lot would have to happen. I'm trying to argue for the XFL. It just seems like a lot would have to go right for the XFL.
It's football. So any form of football, people are excited for. Look at the AFL. Everybody watched that. It was a debacle. I mean, players after week two weren't even getting paychecks. You know, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but it's football. People were excited. I feel like the XFL has some bigger names in it already. To start, so you know, let's sit back. I talked about this. Let's get behind some teams and really ride them out, and hopefully they make it past week two, week three. Which, man, he's a businessman. We'll see what happens. But I mean, I'm excited. Like I said, any form of football, it's not going to be the NFL, whether the referees suck or not. It's still something you're excited for. Still looking forward to watching the difference, what they do. And you know, I think it's good because I think it's going to put pressure on the NFL. Even though the NFL's not going anywhere, not having any issues, I mean, they could care less. They market their players. That's one of the best things about this sport. It's not going anywhere, but maybe they do need something that will actually put some pressure on them to really take care of the referee situation or you know, other situations that seem to arise during the NFL season that kind of get swept under the rug because, hey, we're the NFL. So love that take. Great job, Belly Up Kev. That's what you thought of all things. And I see you, as hard as Zach tried to figure that one out, he didn't have much on it. So
he's missing football already.
We only got one game left. Yes, absolutely. So anyways, I appreciate you guys all tuning in tonight, hanging with us. If you could only see Zach right now, swishing his red wine around and cleansing his palate like a man. He is the man. The locks are flowing tonight, kids. So on behalf of myself and my co-host here, Zach Mack, and his brand, Puck Pass, we appreciate you guys tuning in. And make sure next time you leave the house, you leave the $500,000 worth of jewelry on your nightstand.
We'll celebrate the Niners next week. See ya.
Later.
I never realized I was bred too thin. Till it was too late, and I was empty within.